All right. Welcome, Padawans, to another episode of Pod Between Worlds. Today, we're going to talk about The Mandalorian chapter 9. We're going to go into our reactions to the episode. We're going to break it down, and then we're going to talk about the top 13 takeaways from the episode coming in hot.
Righty then. What's going on, Steve?
Not too much. What about you?
Hanging in there. So what did we let's hop right in. What'd you think of the episode? When did you get to watch it? You got to watch it Friday night?
Friday night, yep.
Nice.
Yeah, Friday night. I did not wake up at 3 a.m.
Spoiled, or I didn't either, but did you get spoiled a little bit, or
yes, I did. I got spoiled.
That's a bummer.
Fucking social media sucks. So I one of the things I've done is I've kind of hid I hid some of the Star Wars stuff ahead of time because I knew that someone was going to post something stupid, and it actually didn't come from a Star Wars account. It came from one of my friends that I didn't expect.
Too big. Everybody's watching.
And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, why would you post that?
Yeah.
Like in their story, like just completely random. I just was like going through my stories, and also I was like, what the fuck? You like, really?
That sucks. Yeah.
So
it's almost like you got to just like completely black out social media.
So dumb. So yeah, the Boba Fett thing was that was the thing that it was like, oh, Boba Fett's back. And I was like, sweet. Okay. Well, I know what's happening at the end of the episode, so might as well watch the thing. So yeah, I was kind of pissed about that. But I mean, regardless, watched it Friday night. Brenna fell asleep to it. She doesn't like the Mandalorian.
One was like a pretty easy, like non-fan episode. Felt like there was like a clear plot to it, like some action. So I thought this one, if any, was like an easy one to watch if you don't know what's going on, just because it's like it's got action, very simple plot, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it takes too long to get to the great dragon.
Yeah, it might have been dragged out a little bit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I tried to kind of see it from her angle. And I guess that one of the things I've been trying to figure out, it's still, I guess from a different, like say like a Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah.
It does feel like a little bit, there's something lacking there. Maybe it's just because it's still kind of like, it is kind of still like a filler episode. I mean, I know Cobb Vanth is like a huge, that was a huge reveal, and obviously Boba Fett at the end. But like, regardless of that, it was still kind of a filler episode, I felt. Maybe that's why, that's kind of the reaction that maybe that's why Brenna was like, whatever about
it. Oh, is she into the overall plot? Like, she's into the overall plot?
Not really. Oh. No.
Why does she care if it's filler or not?
Well, yeah, I mean, but like, I think that's just like, we watched the first season and, you know, I loved it. I thought it was great, but you know, to her, she was just like, nah, like Rogue One to her was way 10 million times better than Mandalorian.
Gotcha.
So even though there's baby Yaddle, Yoda, the child, whatever is in the show, it doesn't matter. I mean, that might be part of it too, is that the, you know, baby Yoda didn't have... He wasn't really prevalent in this episode as much.
Nah, he was just aside. Yeah.
Yeah, so that might have been part of it too, but that's not my reaction. That's
So what did you think?
What I think, that was a great episode. I mean, I loved every bit of it. I love Cobb Vanth and Timothy Olyphant. I mean, yeah, I thought he did a great job, I thought. I was actually kind of surprised a lot of people, especially on Instagram, don't know who he is, which is surprising to me, and we could talk about that more, but...
Cobb Vanth or Timothy Olyphant?
Cobb Vanth.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people, he was big in Deadwood, so either Deadwood or Justified.
Yeah, but I was surprised that a couple of people I talked to didn't know who he was, but recognized his face from something. So, it seemed like he was in a lot of things as like a one episode guy. like a lot of TV shows when I looked at his IMDb. So people like recognize his face. He also looks like Josh Duhamel, I found out. a lot of people thought it was him.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like his older brother almost.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it. I mean, if you haven't seen Justified or Deadwood, then you're probably not going to know who he is. I mean, he's the other place that people are like, oh yeah, I recognize him is from The Office because he's in like two episodes there.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But I thought he played a great. He's one of my favorite actors. I mean, I loved him in Justified. He played the character awesome. I thought the action was cool. I really especially loved just the sand people and just the interactions between them and stuff. I thought that was really cool to see because we don't really see that in the movies in a sense. We just see them as like raiders. We don't see them as people, I guess, or I shouldn't say people, but you know what I mean. Like
he has a weird relationship with them. He does.
Yeah. So that you have that, which is really cool. So I really like that. The plot itself, That was probably the only thing I was a little bit wary on. Again, it is a filler episode in my opinion. I didn't think it. I mean, there was a little bit of the story aspect at the very beginning, but that kind of tailed off. I thought the whole thing, the whole action and stuff was friggin' awesome, especially when they were flying around and stuff. But I mean, overall, I'm not going to keep ranting, but the reaction, my reaction is I really liked the episode. I thought it was. Had all the action that I was looking for. Cobb Vanth, really cool. The ending, awesome reveal. I told you that there was going to be like some secret reveal. I don't know if it got the same reaction that that Baby Yoda did. I didn't really sense that. But it was overall, I thought it was a great episode. It'd probably be, if we were comparing it to season one, it'd probably be like top two. Easy. Easy for me.
Yeah.
So, what I'm gonna guess you hated the episode. And, let's see, you hate Star Wars now.
Yeah, no, I thought it was obviously I thought it was really good. I mean, starting from there and working my way backwards, I guess. I thought there was a surprise coming, and yes, this doesn't hit nearly as much as Baby Yaddle for me. I just think that's like. If that was the big surprise of the season, I'm going to be like, okay, that's kind of a weak, big surprise to me. But Star Wars is weird. It has that. There's like this huge fandom that wants nothing more than Boba Fett to be alive for some reason, which is cool. That's fine. Like I'm so down with people being really into it for that. I'm just not one of them. I like Boba Fett. I love the Mandalorians. I think he's really cool. I didn't need him to be alive. So it doesn't like... Now, ask me at the end of the season if they make his character super interesting, you know what I mean? In terms of plot-wise and, like, who he is. Because one of the major things, too, we got to remember, we know so little about Boba's personality. You know what I mean? Like, so he was obviously raised by Jango, but Jango dies at a pretty young age for Boba. And then we see him a little bit in Clone Wars with, like, his, like, bounty hunter gang posse, right? But then in like the original trilogy, what does he have, like five lines? Like you don't really get a vibe for what he's not even really a bad guy. He's a bounty hunter that got hired to hunt our heroes, but he's not like part of the Empire, you know what I mean? So I never found him like super intriguing, but now that he's being played by Temuera Morrison, and who knows? There could be this whole aspect. I'm interested more what they're going to do with the character, less that he's just alive. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't thrill me that Boba Fett's alive. It doesn't, like, I'm not like, oh my God, this complete Star Wars for me. I'm more interested in, what are you going to do with it? Why is it interesting? Like, why is he alive? Don't just bring him back to be some weird hermit that just hunts the deserts of Tatooine. You know what I mean? Like, I hope he has a lot, and I think he does. I don't think they just brought him back for shits and giggles, but I hope there's a good reason to bring him back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. That's kind of the same. Yeah, those are the same thoughts that I was having. I was like, all right, what are you going to do with him, though?
Right. As big a surprise for me. I think it's cool. It didn't land. I thought it was neat, but it definitely wasn't like some, oh my God moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's funny too.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Like that was my reaction. You know.
I think it's funny too that they pointed like at the very beginning. They were like, "Oh yeah, there's a Mandalorian on Tatooine," and then you know you come to find out it's really not a Mandalorian. It's Cobb Vanth. But
then there is actually one there.
There is the Mandalorian, but like at the same time, he's not. Okay, I'm gonna catch heat for this. He's not like a true Mandalorian, though.
This is kind of the thing.
It's weird.
Boba probably less. It's still not. I think it was more legend stuff. Canon has like one reference that who is like the prime minister? Is it like Prime Minister Almac or something from Mandalore that works like he ends up being the puppet master under basically. Or not the puppet master, but yeah, that guy. He, I think in one of the Clone Wars episodes, just basically says something to the effect of like, or maybe it was in a book. Basically in canon, how I remember it off the top of my head is that basically he kind of makes a side comment when someone mentions Jango and he just says he's not a real Mandalorian. But in Legends, they said something, there was more to it than that. And I think people like kind of conflate those two. So for all we know, Jango could have been 100% Mandalorian, right? You got to remember, too, like, at that time, they were kind of going through that, like, peaceful movement, right? So, like, if he was a warrior, maybe he was an outcast, because Death Watch was kind of an outcast, but maybe he just didn't get along with them. I mean, who knows? You know what I mean?
But he's a clone.
But Boba, on the other hand, I mean, for all we know, he grew up mostly on
Kamino.
Kamino, right. Yeah. I mean, he traveled, but I don't. And then we see him in Clone Wars in his little group. I think he was more like a bounty hunter orphan than a Mandalorian, you know?
Did we ever find out why he had the armor, though?
Probably copying the dad. I don't know. There's probably some basic answers.
Not Boba, Jango.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. I think Jango is a Mandalorian.
Interesting. Okay.
Because Legends hinted more towards this thing that he's a fake one. Canon doesn't really say that. So, like, for all we know, he's 100% a Mandalorian. Again, at that time, the whole peaceful, like, Satine thing was going on. The warriors were kind of outcasts, right? You had, like, the Death Watch, which was obviously outcast. I think you still had the Protectors at that point. So maybe he just didn't fit in with the Death Watch, but he was a warrior, so he just became a bounty hunter. You know what I mean? Right. In which case, it makes sense that the Prime Minister would be like, no, he's not a Mandalorian, because they're trying to peach that they're priestful. You know what I mean? Like, that whole game. So, but that doesn't really do much for Boba, because it very much doesn't seem like Boba, that we know of, spent any time on Mandalore or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah, he'd be more of a Mandalorian than Cobb. You know what I mean? I mean, his father was a Mandalorian. You know what I mean? He got armor, so I don't know. I mean, I don't discount it, but yes, to your point, he's... And we're still very much writing. Here's the thing about the Mandalorian that's interesting. We're still very much writing the Mandalorian history, right? Because from what we knew before, like before this show came out, the Mandalorians were just kind of like, it was a sector in space. So while it wasn't a race of people, obviously there were different races, different alien races that could be Mandalorian. It was like an area of space. It'd be like being like an American kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like if you were going to compare it to real world. But then we get the whole Din thing where he was rescued and brought in. So they had this kind of like Mandalorian orphanage kind of deal where they raise you as a warrior. You know what I mean? So we're still kind of writing what a Mandalorian is. I would put Boba in there. I don't know that I wouldn't put him on like some pedestal. This gets a little bit into what I wanted to talk about, not to go into great depth with, but this is kind of more along the lines of like what I was saying with what are they going to do with Boba? Because is it going to be a thing that, like, does Boba, my interest would be, like, who knows if he's good or bad, hunting Din, hunting the armor, who knows what he's doing, right? There's a bunch of kind of rumors about why he's there and stuff. But do you think Boba, and this isn't, like, some long-form question, but it's a curiosity of mine, like, if they meet, is Boba a name that Din would know? Or is he a name that no Mandalorian would know? You know what I'm saying? Like, where does he fit into, where does he fit into Mandalorian history, culture, when he was alive and at that time, right? And what does Din actually know of Mandalorian culture? Because there could be this argument that Din was raised specifically by this like Death Watch, pick up orphans and train them in a certain way. So he could have very well been raised like with no knowledge of Satine Cries and the whole peaceful revolution. You know what I'm saying? Like they could have indoctrinated him in a very specific way where maybe he only knows like old Mandalorian ways. Maybe that's why he doesn't take off his helmet. Maybe that's like something that they did to the orphans and pitched as like, this is a Mandalorian custom because maybe it was years ago. You know what I mean? Where it's not really like, so Satine takes off her helmet all the time. Sabine, sorry, takes off her helmet all the time. We see Bo-Katan take her helmet off all the time. So like, is he going to be weirded out by that? Does he have a skewed view and an incorrect, incomplete history of Mandalore? You know what I mean? Because of the way he was brought in. And maybe Boba has a whole different take on it. Or, like, this is all interesting to me. Like, what does Boba even know? Does Boba think he's a Mandalorian? You know what I mean? Does he care about Mandalorian culture? Technically, depending on when that purge happened, which we think was before Return of the Jedi, Boba was a bounty hunter working for the Empire around the same time that the Mandalorians got purged. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of interesting questions there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to play into the season big time, but I think there's a lot to explore there. And I'm starting to think more and more that Sabine and Bo-Katan, more than being obviously a cool addition and Mandalore, may open Din's eyes up much more about what Mandalorians actually are. Because I'm starting to think he got like a weird kind of cult version of Mandalore from Death Watch. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Because of the way he was raised in the time period he was raised, you know, at the end of the Clone Wars, he was picked up by Death Watch, you know what I mean? Who some of them became super commandos. They worked for the Empire, like all these kind of things. I wonder if he even really got taught, or if he did get taught about the past 20, 30, 40 years, if he got taught like all wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe Bo-Katan to him is a traitor, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like we don't know what he knows, and some of the stuff that we're like, oh, Mandalorians never take their helmet off. Every other Mandalorian we know took their helmet off all the time. So is this a thing where he has like a weird version, and it's not at all what we would consider real Mandalorians to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm... Now, just after that episode, though, I am getting a little bit of the sense of, like, yeah, I still believe that, like, Ahsoka and stuff will be in this, like, future episodes and everything. But in terms of Mandalorians, I have a harder time now believing that we're going to see Sabine or Bo-Katan or anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm starting to sense that, like, because you
have... I do the opposite. I think now we need them.
Maybe. But again, it's going to be a lot. Like, that's
I know, I'm just like,
new characters.
With the episode.
To the show.
Right. No, I agree. Especially dropping Cobb and, although I guess there's always interesting things in my mind, right? Because like as Star Wars canon fans, like that was a crazy first episode, especially after the whole, Disney trilogy and everything, and really avoiding bringing extra characters from canon, you know what I mean, in the books and stuff like that, and really not doing that at all. To get an episode where you get Cobb Vanth and Boba Fett, it seems overwhelming. But honestly, if you were watching it and didn't really have a dog in the fight, if you will, you know what I mean? Cobb Vanth is just another character. You know what I mean? He's Cara Dune to someone just watching it, right? He's just an actor that they, a semi-famous actor who's playing a role. There needs to be characters. It just seems like a lot because, and not even a lot in a bad way. It just seems like, wow, we got two of the characters we may have seen just because he does have some canon history and they specifically brought it in, you know?
Yeah. Give me the points, bitch.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, we're both, you're up 5 points. And
yeah,
you shouldn't
right,
be. I should
bitch.
Be up by a bunch because I had to go Cobb Vanth first. And when I said 85, your jaw dropped. You were going to say like 30 if I didn't go first. And then you were like, okay, yeah, you make sense. So I'd be up by a bunch. So don't start that shit. But yes.
I knew he was going to be in the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we both are super high on Boba Fett. You had 100. I went 95. And then we tied on Codvanth, 85-85. Although a bunch of people, did you see this whole, well, you said you weren't really following the news. I think it's more of a, just to be different. People are like, well, they didn't confirm it was Boba Fett yet. I'm like, oh my God, my head hurts. Like, what are we going to do? This is some random clone. Yeah,
what do you
clone.
Need, like, him to fucking put this a is some random.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what is this? Some
Jesus
random
Christ.
Clone that's roaming around Tatooine. Like, come on.
It's fucking
to me,
Boba Fett.
To me, some of those things are more like,
I think it said it in the credits, didn't? No, it didn't
I, it
say
didn't
in the credits.
Say it.
But,
I didn't.
But like, come on!
Yeah,
like,
it's
kind really?
Of one of those things that don't you think it's way too much effort to make that not Boba Fett?
Well, it could be Rex.
It could be. This why? I get the point of that, but like, isn't that way too much? Why would you go through the fact of doing it like that and then not have it be Boba Fett? That
well,
seems
they even
like
mentioned that the was it the Sarlacc pit got eaten by the dragon. So it's like, why would they mention that if, like, you know, if Boba Fett, like, if we're gonna
well, that's
see
one
him,
of my yeah, that's one of my things. Yeah, yeah. No, I.
Why?
I'm
why would
I'm
they mention
it.
That?
And he's got scars all over his head. I mean, there's just honestly, I think it would be a wild decision to do it like that and then have it not be Boba Fett. That'd be very odd to me.
Also, Rex was with the rebels at that point, wasn't he?
He fought on Endor. I mean, and then people are saying like, well, Boba would only be 40. I think he'd be like 42 at this point. And Temuera Morrison's 59. It's like, dude, he got eaten by a Sarlacc. And people play older, people play younger characters than their normal age all the time. It just seems insane to me to try to search for reasons that it's not Boba Fett. If it's not, and they have some crazy good reason, then so be it. But come on, I mean, they're slapping you in the face with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all right. So a couple more things I wanted to get to before I do my list of 12 or 13 things that I thought was interesting. I was chuckling because you were describing like the filler episode thing, dude. It dawned on me watching this episode that a lot of these, I think I've gotten used to it now, that the way that they do plot is just kind of like, they're not filler episodes. They just don't, it's such a slow build to the overall plot where like, they're not specific like, okay, this goes here and this goes here and we advance the storyline this much. It's just like, they are almost like, it's like a serial series of every episode's its own thing and it slowly builds towards it. So it's such, maybe the only one you could argue is a filler episode is the, like the bounty hunters one, the one where they go on the Republic ship, right? Because that one had no real bearing on anything. But even that, like just as like character building to see who he's been with in his past and stuff like that. But none of them are like true fillers to me.
Right.
But I was chuckling because this one like dawned on me halfway through. I was like, dude, this show is like an RPG video game. It's like task based, right? So what do we know? Mm-hmm. We end the season with, hey, go find where this kid belongs, right? Go find his people, right? And then we begin this season with him going, okay, I gotta go find his people. And the storyline so far is like, all right, what I should do is I should find other Mandalorians to connect me with the covert, right? And then I can chart a path through the covert to find, I don't know what that means and I don't know how that makes any sense, but anyways, that's his plan, right? So like think of an RPG, it's like, all right, go deliver the kid. Mission one, go find a Mandalorian to get access to the covert, right? And this is what I find funny. It's just like, it brings him to 9 different places and he gets no closer, right? So he's like, all right, I'm gonna go to this underground boss from a crime syndicate, who knows, that supposedly has contacts with Mandalorians. So he goes and talks to Gorkrush, goes sideways, gets in a fight, little battle, right? Imagine you're playing an RPG, right? So you go, like, you get information. You go talk to this guy. Get in a little battle. Have to beat him up. He gives you the information. Okay, go to Tatooine. There's one there. Okay, I go to Tatooine. Goes to the... Wait, it's in a place that's gone? Oh, I got to find a map. Okay, find the map. Okay, go to Mos Pelgo. We go to Mos Pelgo. Oh, Mandalorian guy right there. I think I found him. Oh, not a Mandalorian. What's his mission now? Well, I got to get that armor. That's the way my people do it. Okay, well, how do I get the armor? I can either fight him, or he goes, hey, go beat the crate dragon and I'll give it to you. Okay, now we got to go beat the crate dragon. How do we beat the crate dragon? Oh, we got to recruit sand people. You know what I mean? Like, this is mm-hmm. like those fetch quests from RPGs that's like, how do I save the princess? Well, you got to talk to that guy. He has a key to the castle. Well, that guy won't give you the key to the castle unless you go pick apples. All right, I got to go pick apples. How do I find apples? It's always like, it's like 9 steps forward or 9 steps backwards to move 1 step forward each time, right? Because what's yeah. kind of laughable, and I don't mind this because I have faith in the overall direction that it's going, but what's kind of laughable is, think about, we ended last season, go find this kid's family, right? First thing we do, all right, to do that, I got to go find Mandalorians. Okay. How do you not know where Mandalorians are? You just talked to the armorer, is a Mandalorian who just told you to go find the kid's home, right? So where do we go? We go to some crime boss that steals Mandalorian armor. He tells you to go to Tatooine, right? Where do we end at the end of the episode? He still hasn't found a Mandalorian. He now has no leads on Mandalorians. And all he did was recover Mandalorian armor that he didn't even know was there in the first place. So literally, yeah. literally he did, not only did he do nothing in this episode towards his goal, he actually did, he moved backwards. Because the one lead that we know he had to go find a Mandalorian was this Gore Koresh guy. Now he's done. And the one lead that guy had wasn't actually a Mandalorian. So it's kind of funny, right? When you think about it like that, like he literally moved that whole episode, all he did was move backward. He actually lost the only lead he had. Like nothing was accomplished, which is kind of funny to me. Obviously, he'll have a plan and he'll go find other stuff. But I did. I found that. I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's it is a slow build.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say. So I greatly appreciated the 53-minute episode. I felt like, because I was so used to last year, that we got like halfway through where you kind of found out like, okay, the crate dragon's going to be the problem. And Cobb was like, all right, help me take it out and I'll give you the armor. Right. I'm like, oh, we're already like 20, 30 minutes in. I feel like we're not going to finish. I felt like episode 2 was going to be finishing off the crate dragon. You know what I mean? But no, yeah. like we had enough time to finish the episode. That felt good to me. I can see if you're not a huge fan of the show, how it may have dragged to get to that point. But for me, that was like good world building because I'm super into it. I understand that. And then the whole crate dragon part was really cool. I found it, you know, because we get into the action and everybody loves that stuff.
So Tamara Morrison was credited as Boba Fett.
Oh, okay. I looked at the end of the episode. So, I didn't see it, but so there you go.
It wasn't in the credits. I just looked it up though.
Oh, didn't he get credited as that a while ago though?
Yeah, but so like officially, he's yeah. People, yeah, he was cast as Boba Fett.
Okay, all right. So ready to get into? I will get into my 12. I think it's 12 or 13, depending on how you count it. Things that you may have missed, and this will kind of take us back through the episode, and you can give me comments on if you noticed it or if it was something relatively new. All right. So first one up is, who is Gore Koresh and who does he work for? Okay, that's number one. I found it interesting because I was looking at, I went back through and looked at like his uniform and like none of the patches I could find anything. However, obviously he's some part of the underworld, right? Some kind of crime syndicate or something. What's that? Oh, he is a Bissin. Yep. Which has a cool little throwback to, I think, A New Hope, right? There was an Abyssin in the bar. And they've been used in some different canon stuff and a lot of legend stuff. So that was neat. I think that was our first time seeing one recently, obviously. Yeah. But the one thing I picked up on, and again, this is a little bit of a stretch, but it's the closest I could get. When he's hanging upside down, when Din's interrogating him, when he gives him the information, he says he swears by the Gatra. There is one known syndicate / crime thing called the Gatra in Star Wars. It's the droid Gatra. And they actually worked really closely with a syndicate called the Crimerath Syndicate. Mm-hmm. The Crimerath Syndicate is one of the 5 syndicates that Dryden Voss actually names in Solo, along with Black Sun and Crimson Dawn, like his thing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the interesting thing I saw there, and why I think it's semi-interesting, there's a bunch of books like Scum and Villainy, or like a couple source books, and there's one picture that Star Wars Explained, who I love, did a video on like last year or something that was like examining the Crime Wrath syndicate and all we knew. And he used this picture in the thumbnail, and I wish I could, you know, email and reach out and see where the picture was from, because I have all the comics that they're referenced in and it wasn't in there. So it must be in one of those books. However, what I found interesting was they have like this main Twi'lek guy who's actually in the comics in front, but in the background there is an Abyssin that's in the picture with all the Crime Wraths in again. So I found that really interesting. If that's just like a random callback, it seems odd that you know what I mean? That it'd be perfectly lined up like that. So I wonder if he was part of the Crime Wrath Syndicate. All right. Number two, the return of R5-D4. R5 was the droid in Pelimato's little space station spot, her little landing dock that she calls out, and she has, and it has the map.
Yep.
Okay. That is the same R5 droid that Owen and Luke buy in Star Wars Episode 1 that blows the motivator before they get R2-D2. Yep. And that you can even see the back of where the motivator blew in A New Hope is like all like kind of black and like has like liquid on it or whatever from like blowing. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was a nice callback. Number three, this is kind of like a hidden one too, and it's not proven at all. I just noticed it at the time and I thought it was kind of funny. When they're doing the montage after when Din is on the speeder bike heading to Mos Pelgo, he sits and has like dinner with Tusken Raiders and they're doing like hand signals. Yep. Dude, I'm telling you, I was watching the hand signals. I swear it looked like they were telling the story of when Boba Fett went into the Sarlacc pit, because they're like this. They're like,
oh, okay.
And I was laughing going, I wonder if that's like a little hidden Easter egg that they're like telling the story. And they're like, just like animate this, like do with your hands, like how Boba fell into the pit. Cause I thought that'd be kind of funny. So that was an interesting one. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's interesting. Cause how would they know though?
I mean, they're all around there. It's more of like a throw in. I don't think that's like a super canon. Like they wouldn't have to explain that they were there and saw the jetpack fly into the pit.
Right.
One would imagine if they're out in the sand dunes or around, you know what I mean, that they maybe saw all the Jabba sail barge and everything coming, and they waited to see if anything happened so they could pick the wreckage, you know what I mean, for parts and stuff like that. So maybe they saw it. I mean, I don't, if it's that's more of almost like a behind the scenes kind of thing where they're just like, they're not going to say in canon that they were actually telling Din, but the actors were doing it. They were like, oh, that'd be kind of funny to just add in there, you know what I mean, just kind of like a call out. Number four, which we went into depth about, was Cobb Vanth. Just that he is a character from the Aftermath series that was kind of mysterious, but had a decent amount written about him. So we thought he was going to show up because we knew or speculated that he had Boba Fett's armor. They did mess with his story a little bit, but it's kind of one of those things that's like, was Cobb telling the whole truth? So maybe the flashback was representing his point of view on it, because technically when he finds the armor, he's with like another one of the raiders, and the raider wants it, and he actually injures him and takes it from him and lets the raider live to go tell his boss to get off Tatooine. So there's this whole thing with that. There's also a whole thing that he has Borgo the Hutt, which is like either Jabba's son or this baby hut from Tatooine, and he gets the beast master, the chubby guy from Return of the Jedi that cries when his rancor dies when Luke shuts the gate on him. Malakili, he has him train Borgo the Hutt. So there's that whole thing. And I don't know the timeline. Maybe that'll come into play later. Maybe that's already happened. I don't know. But they didn't mention it. So I found that interesting. Number five, obviously, right along with Cobb Vanth, we got Boba Fett's banged up armor. But still very much Boba, which was cool to see. Number six, what does Cobb Vanth ask for from the bartender? Spachta. Another callback to Sorgan. They just can't, dude, that's why I think we're going back to Sorgan for some reason. They just can't get enough of this blue, like, and just calling back Sorgan. So that'll be very interesting to see. Sorgan was in what, episode 2 of season 1?
No.
Where they have the, wasn't that right off
was
the bat?
Was episode 2? No, I thought it was episode like 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it was episode 4 because
does it take that long for him to get there? Huh?
Yeah, because he has episode 3 is when all the Mandalorians defend him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, because he does
it. Somewhere, yeah. Okay, yeah. So they go to Sorgan. That's the place with the ATST and all the blue.
Chapter 4, Sanctuary.
Okay. So I think that's neat. They keep calling it out. Like I said, in some of our previews, I feel like Cara Dune's armor is also a lot bluer this season, and that's a callback to that as well. Okay, so where am I? Number seven, the Crate Dragon. We talked about it, but this is really our first live view of one. We saw some what is supposed to be like adolescent skeletons in A New Hope when C-3PO is kind of roaming around the desert. You see a skeleton. We've had a couple mentions of it in different canon sources, including one that was like a kind of like a kid's story that was based on like a Crate Dragon terrorizing sand people and kind of thing. But we've never really seen it in action. I think there's even some rumors that like a true Crate Dragon may not have still even existed on Tatooine, but here we have it. They definitely do, which I thought was fun.
There was a skeleton on Tatooine of that as well.
Right,
in, like A New Hope.
A New Hope, right. so that was neat to see. And then shortly after that, I thought it was really neat too how they added like it like almost swims under the sand, which was really neat. Super freaky that something could move through the sand like that. And obviously it was a giant. Number eight was, did you notice Cobb Vanth's speeder? I know we're like 5 days away at this point. If you've read anything, it was called out about 100 times, but I noticed this right away and I was pretty pumped about it.
No, I didn't notice it.
It very much, I guess we'll just say it is, like, again, I'm going over these things. Obviously, they could just be called outs.
Wait, I know what you're talking about. Never mind.
Yeah, it was a piece of Anakin's. Yep. One of the engines from Anakin's pod racer, yeah, or it looks very much like it. It was definitely in there to call that out. So that's, I thought that was really cool. Nice little touch. Obviously, Tatooine, everything's getting junked for everything. You know what I mean? So any spare parts anywhere are going to be used. So I thought that was a neat call out. Right after that, we see Din and Cobb kind of come up on like a tunnel. I think they were heading to the Crate Dragon Lair, and these kind of like lizard looking dog things come out. A lot of people originally said Womp Rats, which I thought was interesting, because I don't think we've seen Womp Rats in canon, maybe in Clone Wars or something like that. But I thought that was interesting because I was like, okay, kind of makes sense. But I looked into it because I was interested in what they were. And actually, we've seen these a couple times in Clone Wars. They're called Massifs. They're like kind of lizard dog things. But there was one that actually...
Too, I think, right?
Possibly.
No, just Clone Wars. You're right. Yeah, okay. It's just Clone Wars.
The interesting one I thought of, because I did remember it once, like they did it, but was one is actually like a pet of one of the clone troopers, and they send it out to try to find Ahsoka during the temple bombing.
Yeah.
One was used to try to hunt her down. Yeah.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting. I actually originally went back before I could find anything, like right after I saw the episode. I thought it was, have you played Fallen Order yet?
It was named, let's see, Grizzer.
Was the name of the Grizzer, dog?
Yeah, Hound was the clone trooper sergeant. No, I haven't played Fallen Order.
So there's these enemies that I thought it looked exactly like, because I couldn't tell what it was. It was ended up being the Clone Wars thing, but like I was like, man, I've seen something that looks exactly like that. And there's these little, like, they actually probably look more like Womp Rats. I think they're called, like, Scuzz or something like that. They're like little rats on Zepho and I think on Ilum. But yeah, it turns out it wasn't them. They were Massifs. So neat addition to, or continuation of something that's already been in canon. And that, I think that's a big Filoni thing. When people ask like, well, what is Filoni really adding? It's those things, right? It's the connections from all these things, that make sense and just look really good and just kind of tie everything together. So I thought that was neat. Number 10, getting back to the Crate Dragon. Obviously, most people who are big Star Wars fan will recognize the pearl that they pull out at the end in the corpse, because we've seen that a bunch and it's been rumored a bunch in different stories. It was a big deal for sand people. But that was actually one of the missions in Knights of the Old Republic, to get a Crate Dragon pearl. And I think you fight the Crate Dragon, don't you, in Knights of the Old Republic? Yeah.
Yes, you do.
So I thought that was cool. Also, what I didn't know, reading afterwards, a bunch of Crate Dragon stuff, that the Venom thing was actually from Legends. That had been mentioned before. I am forgetting the source of exactly where it was, but there's a bunch of, obviously, Crate Dragons were huge in Legends and stuff like that. But the Venom spitting was actually a thing that he took from like old Legends material, which I think is awesome. that's really cool that they went back and kind of researched everything that's been said about the Krayt Dragon and kind of made this amalgamation of what it should look like, right?
Han Solo also used a Krayt Dragon pearl.
Oh, there you go. There was one. There were a couple things in Legends where like a Krayt Dragon pearl could be used as a lightsaber thing, but it had to be like the Krayt Dragon swallowed a kyber crystal or something. It was kind of this crazy thing. I think that might have been, there must have been stuff in Star Wars Galaxies too, I think, had Krayt Dragons. Anyways, moving on. The thing that you mentioned earlier, actually, for number 11, is the Krayt Dragon that ate a Sarlacc. Din mentions it to Cobb as like a, he heard it from the Sand People, like when they were talking, and he said, well, not if they, there's no such thing as an empty Sarlacc pit. And he goes, well, if a Krayt Dragon ate it, there is. And I thought, exactly like you put together, I thought maybe that was the beginning, and it may not be like detailed in The Mandalorian, but I would bet you that in other canon material, we are going to find out that he, that Boba escaped the Sarlacc because the Sarlacc got eaten by a Krayt Dragon.
Yep.
And if you wanted to go further, we know that that acid's pretty serious, but who survived in that acid with Mandalorian armor? Din Djarin. So yeah, maybe that's how Boba survived. Maybe he even got eaten by the Krayt Dragon and battled his way out or something. So I thought that was a neat little hint towards what we may see. And maybe I should have, did you think of it at the time? Maybe I should have thought of that at the time and gone, ooh, did that, you know, like right when he said it, I probably should have gone, oh, I wonder if they're setting up Boba's escape. But I didn't think of it at the time. That would have been a quick reaction.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't think of that. Not a big deal.
Just interested. All right, number 12. I got two more. Number 12, the jetpack malfunction. This was funny. So when Din and Cobb are fighting the Krayt Dragon, and it seems like they can't figure out a way to do it, Din puts together kind of like a half-assed plan with the last Bantha that has a bunch of explosions. But he needs to get Cobb out of the way. And what does he do? He hits the jetpack just like Han did and sends the freaking jetpack flying. So it has that same damn malfunction. For sophisticated armor, they need to get that checked out. And actually, Cobb mentions it later, which I thought was funny, where he goes like, hey, you tell your people I didn't break that, which I thought was like a classic little line.
Yeah.
And then 13, we've already talked about it at length, but in case you missed it, that guy at the end was Boba Fett, played by the actor that played his dad and all the clone troopers, Temuera Morrison. And he, it's very interesting. Definitely could fit the bill. We didn't really get to see the boots, but could fit the bill of the person that went up to Fennec Shand's body. But he's very, I couldn't tell if maybe he's like impersonating a Tusken Raider, because he obviously didn't have the mask on, but he had all the Tusken Raider like gear with the rifle and the and like the club, right? Which they use in this episode to like pick the Bantha's teeth. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I was wondering if that's like the actual use for it. Boba Fett, which is cool. Like Steve and I said, we're excited about it as fans. We're not huge Boba people, but I definitely find it interesting. I'm more interested in, I think we're both more interested in, what are you going to do with the Boba? I'm not super, I'm not like over the moon that he's back. I didn't need that. But now that he's back, the main example I can draw, not that they have this much time, I don't think, but is Darth Maul. You can think bringing Darth Maul back was silly the way they did it. He was chopped in half. He should have been dead. But I don't think you can argue that it wasn't an amazing move that created so much more to one of the best characters in canon. So give him the Darth Maul treatment, if you will. Again, I don't think there'll be that much, but you know my point, right? Don't bring him back for nothing. I don't need him back just to say Boba lived, right?
Yeah.
Give him a role. Let's build on Boba. So yep, I'm interested to see.
Yep.
All right. That's all I got.
All right. Cool. All right. I think that wraps up our breakdown of chapter 9. Thank you for joining us. And as always, make sure to capture or...
Don't capture
wow,
us.
I can't. Leave me don't alone, capture. Please. Yeah. It's not like Pokemon. Oh, I cannot talk now.
Follow us on those social media things.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram at the Padawans. We're also on all podcasting services, Spotify, iTunes, Google, Anchor, and we're also on YouTube. All of our episodes that we record on Twitch Live, we post on the YouTube, and we also have some other content videos on there as well. So other than that, we'll catch you later, Padawans.
Later.